Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, opening day went really well for the Dodgers. They knocked off the D-backs 8-2. Big games for Will Smith and James Outman, among others. We're going to talk all about that. Vince will have the in-person report later in the episode. A lot of fun opening day, first of 162. So happy to have baseball season back and so happy to be here to talk Dodgers with you. Let's get started.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. We're doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince was at Dodger Stadium in person for tonight's home opener. I was watching from my home in Utah, so we have different perspectives on it. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And this game, first game of 162, we're not going to overreact to one game. The Dodgers won 8-2. It was a really, really good game. There were a couple people who had really bad performances, but overall, good game for the Dodgers and great game for the offense. Julio pitched really well. The Dodgers aren't going to go 162-0. They're probably not even going to go 111-51 like they did last year. But you know what? Every single day that they play, I'll take a win over a loss. You'll find later in the season, I'm pretty big on preaching about not getting too down about losses too. And I'm not going to get too up about a win, but I am excited about this win because there was some fun stuff to see. James Outman hit a home run. He had two hits. Interesting thing about James Outman. He now has 20 career plate appearances and still has a BABIP, batting average on balls in play, of 1,000. He has still never in his major league career grounded out or flied out. He has a lot of hits and a couple home runs and a lot of walks and a lot of strikeouts. Not a lot of walks, but a few walks and a lot of strikeouts. That's who James Outman is. He went 2-for-3 in this game. His one out was a strikeout. And I think he now has gotten out 8 times in the big leagues. All 8 of them have been strikeouts. So it's not going to continue. Right now, though, the player with the most career plate appearances who has a career BABIP of 1,000 is relief pitcher Jesse Chavez. I think he's still active. I know he was last year. Either way, he's a pitcher, so he's never going to bat again. So he finished his career 2-for-22 with 20 strikeouts. So James Outman is only 2 plate appearances behind Chavez. Now, as soon as Outman does ground out or fly out for the first time, that goes away because then his BABIP is no longer 1,000. But right now it's kind of fun. His home run was beautiful. It was hit hard, opposite field, left center field. He put a really good swing on it, and then he had a single that he went second on an error, a bobble by the outfielder later in the game. James Outman's a good hitter. Like, he's going to get his strikeouts, but he is a good hitter, good fielder. He played good defense. It was an exciting game to be a James Outman fan. Overall, he went 2-for-3. He scored 3 times. He had the first run of the season for the Dodgers and the first home run of the season on separate plays. He walked earlier in the game, and Will Smith eventually drove him in. Will Smith had the first 3 RBIs of the season for the Dodgers. But Outman scored the first run and hit the first home run. He ended up scoring 3 times, all 3 times that he was on base, with 2 hits and a walk, 2 RBIs on the homer. Just a really, really good game for James Outman. And the other one is Will Smith. Smith went 3-for-4. He had a double with nobody on, and then he had a 2-run single and an RBI single. And then later he had a sac fly. So he came to bat 5 times, was productive in 4 of them, ended up with 4 RBIs and a run scored on his 3 hits. Freddie Freeman went 2-for-4 with a run and an RBI. J.D. Martinez had an RBI single. David Peralta had two hits, both of them the opposite field, one of them off a lefty. It was overall team effort. Oh, Miguel Rojas, 2-for-4 out of the 9-hole with a run scored. Had a ground rule double, might have scored a run. Outman was on first and might have scored if the ball hadn't bounced over the wall. Probably not. I think there was nobody out at the time, so they probably would have held Outman anyway. But yeah, I mean, Rojas contributed. Everybody except for Mookie Betts, Max Muncy, and Miguel Vargas had at least one hit. Vargas and Betts both got on base on walks and scored a run. Vargas was actually on twice. He walked twice. Mookie went 0-for-4 and had 3 strikeouts, which wasn't ideal for him, but he did have a walk and a run scored. Muncy had the worst game of anybody on the team, went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. It was weird. The first one he struck out looking on a pitch, he didn't like the call. It was probably the right call. It was on the inside corner. And then he swung and missed a lot tonight. As Dave Roberts said after the game, he probably won't strike out 5 times in a game again this year. It was the first time in his career, actually, that he's done that. And so not much to be worried about. It's one game and really a good example of not getting too low on things. Muncy will probably hit pretty well in game 2 of the season. He's going to be fine. He had a good spring. He's healthy. So no reason to think this was anything other than a bad game against a really good pitcher. Zach Gallen is really, really good. And that was one of the most impressive things to me about this game was the Dodgers knocked around Zach Gallen. And it wasn't like they just dominated him. He struck out the side. Well, struck out 3 batters. Will Smith had a double in there. But Zach Gallen had 3 strikeouts in the first inning, had a 1-2-3 inning in the second inning, didn't have any strikeouts, though. And I kind of mentioned, oh, he didn't strike anybody out. That's progress. And then the next inning, Will Smith had his 2-run single for the Dodgers to tie the game at 2. And then a couple innings later, it was the 5th inning that the Dodgers finally knocked Gallen out of the game. They were up 4-2 when he left the game. After he left, they tacked on another run that was charged to him. So in all, Gallen pitched 4 and two-thirds innings, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 earned runs. Zach Gallen last year finished 5th in the Cy Young voting, and he deserved it. He is really, really good. He had a pretty lousy 2021 season. Other than that, his career, he has been awesome. His ERA has been between 2.5 and 2.9 every season other than 2021. He's just a really good pitcher. Great stuff. And we saw that at times. He struck out 7 in his 4 2/3 innings. But the Dodgers, they got to him. They hit the ball. And doing that against a guy like Zach Gallen, like I said, I'm not going to take too much from one game. But when you can beat a guy like Zach Gallen, who's really, really good, it makes me feel good about this lineup. David Peralta was kind of funny after the game in the locker room talking to the media. And a reporter asked him, you know, we didn't know what to expect from this team. Are you surprised? Blah, 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 blah. And Peralta said, what do you mean you didn't know what to expect? We got a great team. And I kind of love the semi-belligerent confidence that Peralta was talking about. It was a fun game. You know, we were going to have fun anyway. It's opening day. Baseball season's back. And opening day is always exciting. This was a fun opening day game. I'm excited to listen to Vince talking about the in-person report. The stadium looked electric. The new LED lights were cool on Outman's home run. A dude ran on the field during the 7th inning stretch to propose to his girlfriend and got trucked by the security guard. Just this game had everything. Julio had what turned out to be a good game. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Julio's game because it was scary at first. It started to make me a little bit worried, but it ended up pretty darn good. So I'm going to come back and talk about Julio in a minute. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, the basketball tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, I am back. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. It really does mean a lot to us. If you're watching on YouTube, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the YouTube comment section. If you listen on the podcast, love to hear from you through social media or email or voicemail or text. Vince will give you all the contact info at the end. As always, you can see my Twitter handle right on the screen right now. If you're watching, it's Snydog, if you didn't know that. I mentioned Julio. He got the opening day start for the first time in his career and looked a little shaky. He allowed a run in the first inning and then another run in the second inning. After two innings, Dodgers are down 2-0. And it's like, you know, Julio had a couple not great starts in the World Baseball Classic. The first one, he was really good, and then he just kind of fell apart at the end. The second one, he got knocked around at the beginning and then picked it up a little bit. And, worried's not quite the word, but I was watching and I'm like, what's up, Julio? You know, and I had to remember last year, early in the season, people were concerned about his velocity being down. He's had issues in the first inning in the past in his career, a lot of different things to keep in mind with Julio, but I wanted to see him dominate and I got what I wanted. Starting in the third inning, Julio just shut the D-backs down. He ended up going six innings, allowed just those two runs, four hits, no walks, six strikeouts. It was from the third inning on, it was a dominant performance by Julio. Overall, it was a excellent performance, quality start and all that you can hope for from a guy. The offense showed up and helped him out. Obviously, if he had an offense that didn't score for him, he would have taken a loss. Shohei Ohtani didn't allow any runs and still didn't get a win on opening day, which sucks for him. Luckily, Julio's teammates are nicer to him than Ohtani's teammates are to him. Julio got some run support eventually, and he settled down and pitched really, really well. And that's the thing about Julio. Like, he doesn't strike out a ton of guys. About one an inning is about what you can expect from him. But he doesn't walk many guys, and he limits hard contact. And that's the thing. Like, all I've talked about this several times on this podcast, all the projection systems have Julio due for a big regression this year. And that's because they don't understand soft contact. And not every pitcher is actually capable of consistently inducing soft contact. Julio's been doing it long enough, though, that I believe in it. And doesn't mean it'll work every game, but you know, Julio doesn't need to strike out a ton of guys to be successful because he gets pop-ups, he gets weak grounders, he gets lazy flyouts. He does his job. Even one of the runs that he allowed tonight was on a lazy flyout. It was deep enough that it scored a run. But that guy had moved to third on another lazy flyout. And so he gets the weak contact, and sometimes that hurts if there's guys on base, but most of the time it gets the job done. And that's what we saw from Julio, and I think is what we're going to see from him all year, hopefully, is just this guy who's just consistently excellent. And, you know, he was playing with some stuff. It was his first game of the season, and so, you know, I wouldn't expect him to struggle as much as he did the first two innings in future starts. I think we're going to see another excellent season from Julio, and I think we saw the start of that today. Basically, the stuff looked a lot like the version of Julio that led the National League in ERA last year and finished third in the Cy Young voting. He is really, really good and had a really good game. And then the bullpen, they went to Phil Bickford because by that point they had a 7-2 lead. They went to Phil Bickford. He was great. One inning, no base runners, one strikeout. Then they went to Shelby Miller, who struggled this spring, but they have high hopes for him. He was great. One inning, no hits, no base runners, one strikeout. Then they went to Yensy Almonte. One inning, no base runners, and game over. Should have had a strikeout. Umpire missed a call. He ended up getting a pop out on that batter instead. But the bullpen was great. The starting pitching was great. And these D-backs, they're going to be good this year. Like, I don't know if they'll make the postseason, but this D-backs team is much improved. And so, we kind of get used to saying, oh, well, it's just the D-backs. This D-backs team is good. They've got some really good players. And for me, going back to Zach Gallen, like, Gallen is one of the best pitchers in baseball. and the Dodgers knocked them off. And so hopefully they can keep that momentum going for the rest of the series and, you know, start the season off on a really high note. It's going to be a fun season. It's probably going to be closer in the National League West than it was last year. And that'll make it more interesting, also more stressful. But baseball season's back, folks, and I could not be more excited. This is a fun game. That's going to be it for me. I'm going to turn it over to Vince. He, like I said, he was at the game, and so he will have the in-person report about the atmosphere. If you were at the game, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the YouTube comments section or, you know, through all of our contact info. Love to hear your thoughts on how the stadium felt. It was a sellout. It was beautiful. I'm excited to hear what Vince has to say. I hope you are too, because Vince will be along in a minute.
Yo, 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 Vince here to close out the episode. Like Jeff mentioned, I was at the game last night at opening day, and fun environment to be in, fun game to be at, and here to talk a little bit about in person for the new pitch timer rules and game, in person for the new lights at Dodger Stadium, and just in general being there in person for opening day / night. One, the weather, it was cold. I mean, LA cold. It felt great for me. But when I think of opening day, I think of a 1 o'clock game. Second of all, I think of sun and hot. And yeah, third of all, I don't think of a tarp. But when fans were getting there, the tarp was on about 3 hours before game time. There was no batting practice by either team on the field. And I think just in general, the first game being a night game, I don't know, just felt a little off the whole day. It didn't feel like opening day. You know, I'm used to going to opening night, but you know that that's the second game at Dodger Stadium of the season. So it's a little bit different. This one, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I prefer the opening day 1 o'clock games. But, you know, whatever it is, that's what we're working with, and that's what we had. But other than that, the crowd was pretty solid overall, pretty arriving early enough, at least for the most part. So, you know, that's always a good sign. And, yeah, being in stadium, you know, walking into Dodger Stadium is always going to be an experience, a fun experience, a great experience. You know, a feeling that's indescribable sometimes. That's how I felt walking back in there and being surrounded by Dodger fans, just being at Dodger Stadium, watching the Dodgers, especially for this season that we talked about. I'm really excited to see what these guys can do. And for it to go the way it went, gave us plenty of chances to root, you know, gave us plenty of chances to see what the new lights can do. Gave us plenty of chances for some of those Dodger fans to leave a little bit early and take advantage of a comfortable win. But all that, I want to talk about the pitch timer and how it felt being at the game. Other than the fact that when you looked up at the 1 hour mark and we were in the top of the fifth inning, that's when you noticed it. I don't think you really noticed it in the moment. Obviously, if you're looking directly at the pitch timer, clock, whatever you want to call it, you notice that, but you don't notice like the game being played at a pace that feels, it might feel a little different, but it doesn't feel out of the ordinary. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, this game's going so fast. Like you don't feel it in the moment. Not till I looked up and I'm like, oh, it's the fifth inning and it's 8:12 right now. I think I remember checking my phone at 8:12 and it was the fifth inning, and you're like, oh, this game is going along. And for me as someone, when I go to games, if I'm the media, obviously I don't really need to use regular concession lines. And even if when I go as a fan, I'm not one to get concessions during the game anyways. I would imagine there were certain areas of Dodger Stadium that had long concession lines. And if you were waiting in those long concession lines, you probably waited an extra inning or inning and a half more than you would normally have just based on the pace of the game. So I would imagine that's not going to be the most fun thing. I don't know if the Dodgers are going to try to do anything to counteract that, like have more roaming vendors or have more, you know, beverage only type of lines, and then food only. You know, I don't know if they're going to try to do anything to remedy that. I personally won't really have that problem ever, because I don't, you know, I'm there to watch the game. I'm not going to go get a, you know, soda in the fifth inning, because I'll just wait, or I'll already have stuff that I brought in or stuff that I bought earlier. So, in that aspect, but like I said, for being in person, I didn't really notice the pitch clock, pitch timer. Obviously, the one time when I think Kevin Gunkel on the D-backs, he was setting up too early and the umpire had to talk to him and gave him a ball violation. And then Torey Lovullo came out and talked to him. That's the only time you really noticed it. But other than that, I didn't notice it in the moment. It didn't deter from anything. I know there's still a lot of people not on board with it. I think it's funny when I hear people not being on board with it and say, oh, like they're taking away the entertainment. If you're talking about a Dodger game as a whole as entertainment, then yes, if games are going to be 30 minutes shorter, the last night's game was like 234, 235. If you're counting the whole game as entertainment, then yeah, they're taking away, I guess, that entertainment, which it's really just the fact of a pitcher sitting there or a batter stepping out more often than not, which isn't necessarily entertainment in the moment. If anything, you get more entertainment. You know, it's like when they make those, you know, Marvel movies, they're three and a half hours, depending. If you just cut out a lot of the other stuff and just put the action scenes, and the movie's like hour and a half or 2 hours, people are still going to like that movie. And that's the thing with baseball. It's, you know, yeah, being at the game, I can understand, like, oh, I don't mind being there 3 hours or, you know, 3.5 hours, blah, blah, blah. But you don't really notice it. And you do notice that you're seeing a lot more action, or you're at least seeing a lot more pitches and not as much in between, which I'm fine with. You know, I'm fine cutting down the game 25, 30 minutes if the most of that 25, 30 minutes is seeing a pitcher stand in his motion or stand in his wind or stretch. Or seeing a batter step out and adjust his helmet. Like, I'm not really worried about seeing that. And if you're concerned about the amount of time you're spending at Dodger Stadium, then you can leave work a little early and get there early. Like, I don't, you know, for that to be a complaint is not valid enough for me, because if you're saying, oh, we're getting less baseball. No, you're getting the same amount of baseball. You're just getting less in between parts of it, or less dead time in the game. So again, didn't notice the pitch timer personally. The game went along 2.5 hours. I'm not mad at that. If I had went straight home after the game, I would have been home by like 10:15 the latest, which is pretty great. So but yeah, the new lights, I'm sure you could notice them on TV when things were happening. I've been to stadiums that have these types of lights already, and it does add. It's a different element, and, you know, Dodger Stadium, classic, whatever. But I do like that they're adding these modern touches. You know, they added the newer screens a few years ago, and, you know, they're added, you know, bars in the outfield and under the pavilions, and they, you know, are adding different things for people that are maybe not going there specifically for baseball, but to have an enjoyable time at Dodger Stadium. These new lights, you know, unless you're someone that has issues with flashing lights, or you're someone that maybe a little bit more old school, I don't really see, you know, there being a reason to not like the new lights. It's cool to see the, you know, the flashing, the changing of colors. They're able to do different things. Now when they make a pitching change, the pitcher's running in from, or at least this is what they did the first game. We'll see if they do this the rest of the game. But when the pitcher's running in from the bullpen, the lights dim, pretty dark, and they play, forgive me, I'm not a Star Wars person, but they play one of the songs from Star Wars. I don't know what it's called, but and that's a cool little element. Like a pitcher is now coming in. Dodger Stadium is already considered a somewhat hostile crowd, just because you have the four levels behind when you're facing home plate. You have, you know, field, loge, reserve, and top deck. So those four levels, not a lot of places have four levels. They might have a 400 section, but not four different levels, you know, tiers. You know, Dodger fans, depending who it is or what part of the game it is, or could be a little bit more rowdy, could be a little bit more that. So you're already facing that. You're already facing a Dodger team that's usually pretty good and usually a strong offense. And now you got to run out with the lights turned down and some ominous music playing. So that part's cool. You know, James Outman hit the home run. We got to see the lights flash there. When the Dodgers win and I Love LA starts playing and there's, you know, the flashing lights and everything else. I was a fan of it. I like it. Like I mentioned, I've been to different stadiums already that have that. It's nothing that, you know, it's not like, oh my God, my life has changed because of this, but it's a fun element to add. It makes Dodger Stadium feel updated and new and fresh. And I'm sure they'll find different ways to utilize it as the season goes on. And it was cool. I liked it. Other than that, I didn't walk around the stadium too much. I was, you know, with a different, I was with a group of people and, you know, I didn't move around too much. So I know there was a couple of new things here that I talked about. I didn't really go see them. I didn't see any of the new food options either, but I will say on the asada nachos, the jalapenos are really good. I don't know if they're new or not, or I don't know if it's just one time thing. So I saw that change a little bit and it was pretty good. I liked it. So I can attest to that. But yeah, it was just great to be in Dodger Stadium. And, you know, this was one of those games where I didn't move around a lot. I didn't really advertise where I was at. So I didn't really get to see a lot of people. I had people I knew that were there, group of friends, you know, interacted with them. But as the season goes on, I'll definitely want to be more available to if anyone wants to say, hi, what's up? Or, you know, just talk Dodger baseball. I'm never going to turn down a conversation about the Dodgers. So, you know, there's that part of it. And it's never going to get old being there. The game was fun. Will Smith, you know, Jeff talked about all this stuff, but, you know, Will Smith had the three hits to the right side. That was fun to see. James Outman, actually where I was standing in the Loge area was behind the family and friends section. So I could see James Outman's family. I know, I believe it was his wife and then maybe parents and sister, if he has a sister. There was four people. So seeing their reaction when he hit the home run was pretty cool. You know, that was, you know, just joy. It wasn't his first career major league home run, but it was his first home run at Dodger Stadium. Home run in his first start in center field on opening day at Dodger Stadium. Like, it was cool to see that. So, yeah, overall, a fun opening night experience. I still would prefer opening day, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. And that's all I got. I will probably be there Saturday for the Freddie Freeman bobblehead. I'll probably be there Monday for the Julio bobblehead. So, you know, if you're out and about and you find me, come say hi and say what's up. And, you know, we'll chat about the Dodgers. So that's going to do it for my part. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check out our Locked On MLB preview. It has local and national experts giving in-depth analysis of every team and division in a way only Lockdown can provide. Find all six episodes on Lockdown MLB YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. You can also check out Lockdown Fantasy Baseball. You probably won't be able to get help with the draft, but you'll be able to get help with everything else that comes with being a fantasy baseball player. They're also wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, which is also where we are, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. If you search for Lockdown Dodgers, which is how you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Lockdown Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockdowndodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play podcast, Lockdown Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.